It's a no-brainer that recessions are bad. Nobody wants them. They are uninvited to the party. But if you have to have one, it's worth finding a sliver of silver lining, or maybe more than a sliver.
So we found that in the commuting zones, where the unemployment rate went up by more, the mortality rates went down by more. So it was like there was this countervailing positive benefit of this very terrible Great Recession, which is that mortality rates fell.
Welcome to The Pie. I'm your host, Tess Vigeland. Economists are always talking about the pie, how it grows and shrinks, how it's sliced, who gets the biggest share. In this show, we're talking about the most pressing matters of the day seen through the lens of economics. The Pie is a production of the University of Chicago's Becker Friedman Institute. And in this episode, we're asking whether anything good at all, can come from an economic downturn. Of course, job losses, retirement fund losses, general financial losses are the usual hallmarks of a recession. But economic activity also has costs. So today we're going to hear about what happens when economic activity slows down and costs are upended.
I'm Matt Notowadigdo. I'm a professor of economics at Chicago Booth, and my favorite pie is blueberry pie.
So Matt, we're going to talk about something kind of counterintuitive today, which is the idea that recessions can have silver linings, and in fact, significant ones, including a decrease in mortality. I have to tell you, this feels like walking into a minefield. Like, on what planet is economic recession a potentially good thing, right?
Yeah, that's right. You know, it's not our idea. Chris Room, he's an economist now at UVA, and several decades ago, he wrote a paper called "Are Recessions Good for Your Health?" And you know, I think our project basically started in the spirit of scientific replication. We wanted to essentially, you know, ask ourselves: is it still true today, and was it still true during the Great Recession, the largest recession of my lifetime?
Yeah. All right. Well, let's go ahead and talk about this research. And we're going to throw it all the way back to the Great Recession that followed the housing market collapse of 2007-2008. Want to give us a quick refresher of what that recession looked like, what caused it, how long it lasted?
It was a long-lasting recession caused by a couple of forces. So there was a housing boom that was then followed by a housing bust. And that was affecting, you know, different parts of the country very differently. And there was also a big shock to manufacturing as well. And so I think at a very high level, you can think of the recession, the Great Recession, as having this interesting feature where there were some parts of the country that were hit really hard. And they were hit really hard either because they had a lot of manufacturing employment, or they were hit really hard because they had experienced this housing boom that now turned into a housing bust. So you can think of the Midwest as the manufacturing base. You can think of Florida, Nevada, Arizona, New Mexico, California as places that were hit really hard because, the housing went up a lot and then went down a lot. And mm-hmm. that really negatively affected those areas.
Okay. So all in all, I think most people would say the Great Recession was a disaster. People lost jobs, homes, net worth. So what effects of that Great Recession did you want to measure, and how did you go about measuring it?
Yeah, so we started with this idea, as I said, the spirit of trying to replicate, is it still the case that recessions affect mortality rates? And the reason we thought that the Great Recession would be a good kind of laboratory to study that is exactly because of the fact that there was a lot of variation across areas. So there'd be some parts of the country that were hit really hard and other parts of the country that really didn't experience much of a recession at all, despite the fact that nationally the Great Recession was a very severe recession. And so that, you know, lets us kind of turn the Great Recession into a natural experiment, to use the language of economics, where we can compare areas that are hard hit to areas that were not hard hit before and after the Great Recession. And we can do all of that using comprehensive mortality microdata that lets us look how trends in mortality rates are changing, you know, as soon as the Great Recession arrives.
So you were looking at commuting zones. Can you kind of walk us through that?
Sure. Yeah. And that's another change relative to the past literature, in the sense that lots of papers in health economics had just compared across states because that was the data that was readily available. But, you know, in recent years, going back to when I was a graduate student, labor economists have started moving away from that and using this concept called commuting zones, which are groups of counties that cover the entire country. And they're intended to approximate local labor markets because they're defined based on commuting patterns. So, you know, what's a local labor market? It's a labor market that defines where people would be willing to commute to work. And that let us divide up the country into about 700 commuting zones. And then we could measure how severe those commuting zones had been affected by the Great Recession, as well as measuring those commuting zones' trends in mortality. And those are kind of the key inputs into our main analysis.
So what exactly were you looking at?
So I should say the data, the mortality data comes from the CDC. It's not that hard to get. You just have to apply and then you can download data that covers all deaths in the United States, measured at the county level, broken down by a lot of different demographic characteristics like age, gender, race, and ethnicity. And so that, think of that as the numerator in a mortality rate. So the mortality rate is the number of individuals who die in a time period. That's what we're measuring from the CDC data, divided by the number of people who are alive at the beginning of the period. And that's what we get from the census. So we have measures, we have a population denominator and a mortality numerator, and that gives us mortality rates. So what we did in our paper is we first just looked at the mortality rate overall. Did the mortality rates go down more in the commuting zones that were harder hit? And this is the, you know, perhaps counterintuitive result that doesn't quite fit with our common sense, but we did essentially replicate the earlier findings quite closely. So we found that in the commuting zones where the unemployment rate went up by more, the mortality rates went down by more. So it was like there was this countervailing positive benefit of this very terrible Great Recession, which is that mortality rates fell and fell by more in places that were hardest hit. So that's just about the mortality rate overall. But another nice thing about the CDC data is it's broken down by cause of death. So you can see whether people died because of heart disease or cancer or motor vehicle accidents, which sadly are one of the top 10 causes of death overall. And so, you know, we did find, consistent with some past work, we did find that motor vehicle accidents are a part of what's going on here in explaining our finding. So when economic activity falls, people drive less and driving is dangerous. And so that reduces motor vehicle fatalities, you know, pretty much mechanically, but that only can explain about 5 to 10% of what's going on, although it's very clear in the data that that's a real impact of recessions, is that it saves people's lives by reducing motor vehicle accidents.
Wow. So in all, a recession can actually have a positive impact on how many people die.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, one of the things I like about the paper is we really try to grapple with the magnitudes of what we find. So, you know, our kind of headline result is that for every 1 percentage point increase in the unemployment rate in your local commuting zone during the Great Recession, that every 1 percentage point increase in unemployment is associated with a 0.5% reduction in mortality rates. And, you know, maybe that doesn't seem that big, although some commuting zones had 4, 5, 6 percentage point increases in unemployment. So that would translate into a reduction in the mortality rate of about 2 to 3%. Which, you know, starts to sound a little bit more meaningful.
Yeah.
But still, we as economists found an even more intuitive way of thinking about the magnitude of the results is to actually translate it into changes in life expectancy, or, you know, what economists would say, like life years saved as a result of the recession. And I think one of the best ways we came up with of summarizing the results is that For a 55-year-old living in an area that was hard hit by the Great Recession, about 1 in 25 of all the 55-year-olds basically got an extra year of life as a result of the Great Recession.
That is remarkable.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's remarkable in the sense that it just goes so much against our common sense.
Yeah.
I also, when I present this to academic audiences, I have a slide where we ask ChatGPT whether recessions are good for your health or not. And ChatGPT is not Google Scholar. So what ChatGPT says is that recessions would be very bad for your health.
Yeah.
People lose their jobs.
Yeah.
They lose income. They might lose access to health insurance in the United States, at least. And so all of these things would be expected to be bad for your health. You could also have increased stress, which could be translating into bad mental health. So, you know, ChatGPT thinks pretty confidently and writes long-windedly saying that, you know, the overall effect of recessions on people's health is likely to be negative. And our paper, you know, essentially confirms several decades of work in health economics that says basically that's not true. In fact, if anything, it goes, you know, pretty strongly in the other direction.
That it's just astonishing. That number to me sounds almost unbelievable. A whole year of life because of a recession.
Yeah, you know, it's not everybody, right? It's one in 25 people. Yeah. It is a big impact. It's certainly not implausibly big in the sense that every year, mortality rates go down by about 1% a year. Now, sadly, in the United States, we've made slower progress than many other high-income countries. But another way of thinking about what the Great Recession did is it kind of sped up the mortality rate declines that might have been occurring anyway by a couple of years. And that, you know, now doesn't sound implausible. It's just, it's kind of in the range of what all Americans experience each year, but just happens a little bit faster, a little bit more quickly than it might have otherwise happened. But it really is a surprising result. And, you know, we thought that the causes of death would help us understand maybe some of the deeper explanations for why this is happening. And so we find that heart disease, for example, is one of the biggest causes of death in explaining our results. Respiratory diseases is another big cause. What doesn't explain our results at all is cancer, which is the second leading cause of death in our data. And I think that's pretty intuitive because it's hard to see how the recession would change the incidence of cancer. And our results are basically suggesting that it doesn't change the kind of treatment you get for cancer either. And so cancer mortality is not affected, but heart disease and respiratory disease mortality can explain most of what's going on in terms of explaining the mortality trends.
What about the timing? At what point do you start to see these reductions in mortality? Like, is it toward the declaration of the end of a recession? And how long does it last?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think this is another part where we feel like we really made some progress in the paper, relative to the past research. So we are able to see essentially the dynamic evolution year to year as the Great Recession shows up. So just as a reminder, the NBER, which officially dates the start and ends of recessions, said that the Great Recession started in 2007 and it ended in 2009. But the Great Recession, you know, I think a lot of people at the time felt like even though the NBER had declared the end of the recession, the economy was still not doing well even after the recession had officially ended.
Yeah, for several years, like 2011, 2012.
Yeah. Even though unemployment rate had recovered, it actually took several years after that for employment and the labor force participation rates to get back to normal. So what we were able to do is essentially look at that first decade after the start of the Great Recession. And what we found is that the mortality reductions emerged quite quickly. So even in that first year of the recession, we still see we are already seeing declines in mortality, and they end up looking to us like it's fairly persistent. So for 5, 6, 7 years after the end of the Great Recession, we are still seeing reductions in mortality rates in the areas that were harder hit, even after the recession has officially ended. Now, I keep saying recession officially ended because the labor markets were probably still, you know, operating below trend and still recovering quite slowly. And so, you know, what we conclude is that it's probably not that surprising that there are persistent reductions in mortality because the Great Recession itself was such a long-lasting downturn.
Yeah. What about the role of the severity of a recession? You know, this was a global financial crisis. It was not a mild downturn. Does that have an impact?
I think we would have thought it would have had an impact, but you know, I think after working on our paper, we kind of we came to the conclusion, at least, that the Great Recession doesn't look so different than other recessions that were studied by these other researchers I mentioned earlier, in the sense that our magnitudes that we estimate are pretty similar to what people had found in the past, looking at the recessions in the 1980s and the recessions in the 1990s. So, in that sense, the Great Recession, despite the fact that it was a distinct recession, it doesn't look like it had distinct impacts when it comes to mortality. same patterns by age, gender, cause of death. What we found is what, you know, prior economists had found as well, looking at these earlier recessions. So there wasn't anything special in that dimension.
And you know, I know you mentioned earlier things like traffic accidents, but can you walk us through some of the other reasons behind this decrease in mortality? Like what causes this?
Absolutely. I mean, we really tried to make progress on that. And I think, you know, we have some partial success, I would say. So, you know, based partly on what other researchers had hypothesized, we looked for a couple of other explanations. So one explanation we looked into was whether people got more healthcare because they had more time to see the doctor. We looked at whether people were getting more or better care in the hospital or in nursing homes. To do this, we basically, alongside the CDC data I mentioned, we collected very comprehensive data for Medicare. So for everybody on Medicare, we can see their utilization, we can see various measures of morbidity, and we can see whether they go to a nursing home. And we essentially didn't find any evidence of any of these explanations in explaining our results. So we don't think that that's a big part of the story, which I should say is progress, because at least we're ruling out some potential explanations.
Right.
And then another one that, you know, that we don't rule out, and at the end of the day, we think does explain at least some of what's going on, is pollution. And just to be clear, the causal chain that we have in mind here is that when there's reductions in economic activity in the commuting zone, right, in that local labor market, that reduction in economic activity may be associated with reductions in air pollution because of, you're running power plants less, there's less industrial activity, and people are driving less, and all of these things generate pollution. None of us are environmental economists, but we talked to quite a few of them that pointed us to this pretty rapidly growing literature suggesting that there are pretty big impacts of air pollution on mortality, particularly for older people and people in worse health, which turns out to be, you know, kind of the groups that are also responsible for most of our mortality reduction. So, you know, all of that is to say it's certainly not unreasonable to think that pollution could explain some of what's going on, but to try to make the case a little bit more convincingly, we collected all of the publicly available air quality data, which the federal government just, you know, basically posts online. There's pollution monitors stationed at counties all over the country. We collected that pollution monitor data and essentially verified that our mortality rate reductions, alongside those reductions, we also see reductions in measured air pollution at around the same time. So as soon as 2007, the recession starts happening, we see clear, sharp declines in air pollution in the commuting zones that are harder hit relative to commuting zones that were not hard hit. So that was kind of our first piece of evidence that pollution could explain some of what's going on.
I know you were studying the particulars of the aftermath of the Great Recession, but I wonder if you've thought at all about how these findings might extend to the aftermath of the pandemic, which was an even greater shock to the economy, at least temporarily. Obviously, mortality skyrocketed because of the virus itself, so maybe you can't measure it. But, you know, we had weeks and months of less pollution, even car accidents because of lockdowns. Does your research lead you to wonder about that?
It does. You know, it's So I guess the first thing I would say is that we know the overall impact of the pandemic recession was bad for health because of the pandemic. And I just want to just state that at the outset, because there was the recession itself, which has all of the economic damages associated with recessions. But unlike all of the other recessions I've been talking about, there's also overall very negative health impacts. And one of the things we do in our paper is we provide a framework to kind of put dollar values on all of those things and add them up together so that you get a more comprehensive measure of the true costs and benefits of recessions. My hypothesis is that if you did those kinds of calculations that we lay out in our paper for the Great Recession, if you did it for the pandemic recession would look like a particularly bad recession because you have both the economic damages plus the health damages from the fact that life expectancy, you know, overall in the United States fell for a couple of years, which you know had never happened for decades. So that's kind of the baseline I want to give. But you know, since you mentioned some of the things like pollution, you know, I think it will be interesting to look in the years that come for some of those kinds of impacts. One of the things that you know, my co-author Amy Finkelstein and I had noticed is that, you know, infant health looks like it actually did improve in lots of high-income countries around the world in the aftermath of the pandemic. So multiple teams of researchers, you know, primarily medical researchers, but, you know, possibly some health economists as well, just infant health as measured by birth weight or birth weight for gestational age, measures of infant mortality, you know, perhaps surprisingly, despite all of the stress of the pandemic and the recession happening, it looks like infant health improved. And some doctors have hypothesized that this could come from a combination of, you know, sort of the more time that you have during a downturn, as well as perhaps changes in pollution coming from the pandemic. So this is all speculation at this point. But, you know, if that turns out to be true, I think that is consistent with a lot of the findings that we have in our own paper.
Well, so to continue the speculation that I'm asking of you, is it possible to say whether these patterns might also emerge outside of a recession-based downturn? So maybe other economic shocks like a boom and bust in oil or other natural resources, or even the AI revolution that's underway.
Yeah, it's a great question. And that is very much on our mind. So, you know, we don't feel as well qualified to do the kind of cross-country study I was just describing, but we do feel qualified to look at other economic shocks. So there's the so-called China shock that my dissertation advisor, David Otter, has studied, which is when trade with China really started to ramp up starting around the year 2000. That had very differential impacts across the country, depending on whether you're in an area that happened to have a lot of manufacturing or a lot of production in the kinds of goods that we're now increasingly starting to import from China in the 2000s. And it had big impacts on unemployment and employment, you know, particularly of workers that were working in those sectors. So you could ask the question after our paper, well, did the China shock perhaps also have these kinds of mortality benefits, given that there was an economic downturn not caused by a recession, but caused by rising exposure to trade with China? That's on our to-do list. You could also think about natural resource booms and busts, like the fracking boom. There was also NAFTA, you know, recently economists have gotten some really granular data to show that there were some parts of the country that were quite negatively affected by NAFTA. And again, by comparing those areas to areas that weren't so affected, you could see whether that negative economic shock has the same kind of mortality benefit. So I would say, just speaking for our research team, you know, that's our hypothesis at this point, which is that if you sort of translate everything into changes in employment or changes in unemployment, we'd see the same kinds of mortality benefits when it's scaled in the way I just described from these other types of macroeconomic shocks as well. So in this sense, our hypothesis is that there's nothing specific about a recession, but rather anytime there's a sharp change in economic activity, whether it's from a recession or NAFTA or a trade shock or a fracking boom, we might expect to see similar changes. So that's what we're working on right now. I don't have any results to share yet, but that's...
All right, we'll have you back when you do.
It's a very natural idea. And so we're really, yeah, really excited to be doing that for the next couple of years at least.
Well, I guess what I've learned here is that when the next recession lands and all I'm hearing about is job losses and income declines, I'm going to say, well, but maybe some of us will live longer.
Well, you know, I honestly think that's a good takeaway. I don't want people to come away from our paper thinking that no, recessions are actually good.
No, of course
that's not. That's definitely not true. But what we show in the paper is that, you know, most of the averted deaths are the elderly. So people 65 and older, they've already retired. Many elderly people live essentially paycheck to paycheck, where the paycheck is their Social Security benefits. And so for those individuals, you know, the Great Recession is not changing their economic circumstances very much, because they are able to get the same stream of income and they generate these mortality benefits. And so I think one of the sort of my own takeaway for the paper is that recessions have more varying distributional consequences than I had appreciated. There's a lot of prime age workers and people who are graduating during the Great Recession that are going to carry those economic scars for a very long time. But on the flip side, there's older people who really just, you know, get big, meaningful health benefits that they're likely to carry with them for the rest of their lives. And they're also probably the same people that are not suffering as much economic damage. And so for older people, you know, when a recession comes, it's probably not as bad for you as you think it is and could even be good.
Matt Notowadigdo, this has been absolutely fascinating. Thank you so much.
Thanks a lot for having me. Yeah, I really enjoyed it.
The Pie is a production of the Becker Friedman Institute for Economics and part of the University of Chicago Podcast Network. If you'd like to keep in touch with the latest economic research from the University of Chicago, you can visit bfi.uchicago.edu/subscribe. Have you ever wondered what goes on inside a black hole or why time only moves in one direction? Or what is really so weird about quantum mechanics? Well, you should listen to Why This Universe. On this podcast, you'll hear about the strangest and most interesting ideas in physics, broken down by physicists Dan Hooper and Shama Waksman. If you want to learn more about our universe from the quantum to the cosmic, you won't want to miss Why This Universe, part of the University of Chicago Podcast Network. Our theme music was composed by Story Mechanics, production assistance from the BFI Communications team. I'm Tess Vigeland, your host and executive producer. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.